on Western world, for example, when I in Russia, I faced with philosophy that the God is not very close to us. He's very far away from us. But in Vedic philosophy, it is said that God is in our heart. It's very close to our soul. So when I outside of India, I very feel strong this influence philosophy that we are so much separate of God. Can you give some explanation how can I, how to say, accept this philosophy that God is very close to me, to us?
God is everything. God is very far and he's very close. Inside India or outside of India, wherever you are, God can be either place. If you love someone, they're very close. If you don't love someone, they're very far. Even if you're lying right next to the person in bed, person may be your husband or wife, but if you don't love them, they're very far from you. So the way to realize the presence, the omnipresence of God outside and inside is to increase our love for God. Krishna says in Gita, chapter 6, verse 30, Yomam Pashati Sarvacha, Sarvancha Mai Pashati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees me in everything, I never lost to him and he has never lost to me. So that as far as the fact and the truth, first we should learn the truth. Some people in India say like this and you feel like that, and some people in the West they say like this and you feel like that. What is the actual truth of the matter? First we have to establish the truth, then we have to try to understand the truth, then we have to try to realize the truth. So the truth is that God is everywhere. If there's no God, there's no reality. Where did everything begin? Everything, every atom, every piece of air, water, it all begins with God. So God is a fantastic being, the supreme being. And he's everywhere. If he withdraws, if he leaves us, we're dead. If he's with us, we're alive. The life we have is the energy, is the presence of God. Because God is within us, we're alive. When he decides it's time to go, he takes us with him and leaves this body and goes to another body or to another planet or to another realm, another reality. So God is doing everything. All is the will of God. Everything is moving by the will of God. Everything is happening by the will of God. You live by the will of God. You die by the will of God. Our food, our air, our water, our breath, our heartbeat, our circulation, we're not doing any of it. Nothing is done by man or woman. Nothing is done by science. Everything is done by God. If God withdraws the air, he withdraws the water, we're all dead. Science can't make air and they can't make water. Without air and water, you're dead. So God is everywhere. God is in the water. So many philosophies and websites about, they say, talk to your water, energize your water with good thoughts. Oh, water, you're happy, healing, pure and clean. Please heal me, make me pure and clean. They have all kinds of philosophies. Preach to your water. Water is nice. And that, for us, is nothing new. Krishna says in Gita, 10th chapter, 11th chapter, Rasoham Apsukonteya, I am the taste of water. Oh, Krishna, oh, water, Krishna, this is water, but you're not inside this water. This bottled water tastes terrible. Oh, this mountain water from the Kaskas Mountains of Russia or whatever they have over there. Oh, it's tasting very good. That's Krishna. That where something's good and something's beautiful and something's wonderful and something's sweet, that is God. That is Krishna. But he's also nasty and terrible and destructive and powerful. And God is good and God is bad. God murders people and rapes people and robs people. Yes, That's God's doing that. And God also blesses people, makes poor people become millionaires by winning the lottery. Why'd they win the lottery? God gave his favor. One day, pauper means poor person. Next day, wins the lottery and becomes a rich man. So Krishna is everywhere. God is everywhere. That's the shelter. That's the good news. The Krishna is everywhere. This is the fact. Every shastra, every sacred book will tell you that see God within you, see God without you, see God in your fellow man, see God everywhere. God has many names and he's omnipresent. He is our friend from beginning to end. You shouldn't have any doubt about that. In India, they feel you see the presence of God and you feel the presence of God because it's famous worldwide for being Dharma Bhumi. In the Shastras, the ancient sages said this land of Bharat is Dharma Bhumi. It's so desirable, Bharat, this land of India, Bharat, is so desirable that the heavenly beings, the angels, we call angels in Christianity, the angels and Kinnaras and Apsaras and all the higher beings are living fantastically long and fabulously beautiful, opulent, enjoyable lives. They're very intelligent also. And they know this will all come to an end very soon. We will die. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravishinorjana mamapetyutukonteya. Krishna's telling in Gita chapter 8, verse 16, from the highest planet in the material world, Brahmaloka, down to Narakloka, Rasatal, Palatalatala, Patalatala, Sutala. They're all places of birth and death. Everyone's born, everyone dies. So this is the nature of the place, of the reality. So they're thinking, oh, we have to die, and where will we go next life? Let us be born in India. They're zillions of miles away from here, enjoying like you can't imagine. Just like you go to Siberia in the winter, it's not too enjoyable, I suppose, I've heard. But while you're suffering and this wind is 40 below zero and wind blowing, there's someone in Hawaii on the beach drinking coconut juice and eating mangoes this big, enjoying nice breeze, nice wind, everything beautiful. He's in heaven. And in Siberia, you're in hell. So these people are like in Hawaii. They're in heaven, and they're praying, when I come, let me come here. Because this is the land of God. Not Russia, not Europe, not India. And all this whole planet is all there, always been there. On each part of this continent, these different continents have different names, ancient names. So they're well aware that there's a place called North America and South America and all these different continents. And they're very nice places to live, very inhabitable. And the Tropic of Cancer and this middle part of the earth, anywhere, South America, Central, very nice. Asia, very nice weather, very pleasant weather for human habitation, year-round. You go north and south of that, it starts getting colder, colder, colder. But in the middle of the earth, very nice. And that means hundreds, millions of acres and millions of hundreds of countries they could choose to be born in, but they choose this one, this beautiful country of India. We call India. It's called Bharat. Because it's a special land. It radiates Dharma. And it even says in ancient Shastras, most ancient Shastras, when one leaves the land of Bharat Bhumi, enters the land of Adharma, of irreligion. So irreligion means no God. You can't see God. God is far away. He's far away because he doesn't exist. That's how far. Because seeing God is far away is another way of saying atheism. There's only two realities. God is right here or there's no God. There's no far away. As soon as you say God is far away, then that's, you can say agnostic leading to atheism. Anyone who says, oh, God is far away. No, God is here. Krishna. Did you see him? I did. I missed him. Oh, let's try again. Listen really. Krishna. Oh, I saw him. And then Radha, Krishna just hears Radha. He sees Radha and he starts crying just by hearing her name. If someone starts to say Ra, as told in Puranas, someone says Ra, Krishna perks up his ears, perking up the ears. You may not know so much English. Perking up the ear means, if you're just singing like this and someone says, oh, you know, Saki Shiramani, she's like, you know, the ears come up. If you're hearing nearby you, someone speaking, what's that? Or you're just walking by, somebody's in a shop, and, well, you know, Saki Shiramani, huh? This is called, Krishna hears someone say Ra. Actually, someone told me the other day, so it doesn't matter what you're lecturing on or where you're lecturing on or what time you're lecturing. We always count the minutes when you're going to start talking about Radharani. Someone said that to me the other day. It doesn't matter what subject you're talking about, what book it is, where it is, what time it is. Okay. Everyone's listening. Some people, they gather, listening to some lecture. What's Bhagavad Gita? Oh, there. That's a funny point. So then Krishna's ears perk up and he says, oh, they said Ra. He's wherever he is. It doesn't matter. He's in the Kunja, he's with Radharani, wherever he is. Anywhere in the universe, someone says Ra, Ra. And then they say Ra, Ma. They say Ma. They say Ram. They say Ram. Ram. Like Ramchandra is Ram. Or say Rama. Lakshmi Devi, Rama or Sita Devi, Rama, or they say Ramchandra. Oh, goodness. But because Krishna's ears perk up, because his heart opens big, oh, are they going to say Da? Radha? And then if they say Radha, then he runs to that person. He runs. Who's saying this? So that's how close God is for you. Just say Radha or Krishna and they'll be right there with you. I was asking my Gurudev, unfortunately I didn't record it because I didn't bring my recorder. I was invited for lunch, so I went for lunch. For prasadam, not to squeeze him up with questions and stuff like that. He said, please, you come tomorrow, take prasadam. I said, okay. So when I got there, he told me to come at 11. I came at 12:30 because, you know, it's Indian time. And no one was there. I thought, well, I guess I missed it. So I went in the room, Gurudev is sleeping. Went in the kitchen, someone's cooking, very feverishly cooking a big feast, who I'd never seen before, brahmachari. I said, okay, what's going on here? So then I looked and I saw Gurudev was kind of waking up a little bit. I said, Gurudev. He said, oh. And I went inside. And he was wearing a mudka silk dhoti, a mudka silk kurta, and a mudka silk swami hat. And I thought, oh my God, he looks just like Prabhupada. Swami hat, it's like a little cap, like Prabhupada used to wear a little cap. It's a little cap, you know, this handmade, hand-sewn little cap. Little strap goes below here, like you put little babies in the crib, you know. And you get a little baby and you take him out on a stroller on a winter morning. You put this little thing under his little face and you button it under here or tie it, you know. Blue for boys and pink for girls. So when Prabhupada came to New York in 66, he packed that, you know, going for the winter in New York, so he had this swami hat. And he wore, when he first sported his swami hat on 2nd Avenue, he went for a walk. And everyone said, Prabhupada, that you're looking very dapper. It's a nice word, dapper. You're looking very smart, very dapper today, Prabhupada, Brahmananda said, because he was like Prabhupada's son. He would just talk with Prabhupada like, you know, the way I talk to Guru Maharaj. So you're looking very smart, very dapper. And he said, what is this kind of hat? We've never seen this hat, because they've never been to India. It's 1966, no one knows. From Western American devotees, New York City. Prabhupada said, I'm from Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan all the sadhus wear that. All the sadhus, they wear these, you know, all the sannyasis, babajis, they wear like this. And Prabhupada said, and there, you see some very fancy ones. When you go, in the future, you go to Vrindavan, you'll see some very fancy ones. Sometimes the babas, you know, they get some old didi cloth, some prasadi vase from Thakurji, some, you know, bright, you know, Thakurji's clothing is very bright colors, some bright red with gold patterns and sequins and little jewelry sewn on it. So they get some scrap of Radharani's dress, probably Radharani's dress or whatever. Then they go to a tailor and they get it cut, and then they make a hat out of it. So you see when you go to Vrindavan, the Babaji's, which I've also seen, they're wearing some white small piece of cloth around their bottom and little cheddar on the top. It's just faded white, kind of soiled. It's clean white cloth, but it's soiled because they don't buy soap powder and they just wash in the water and wring it out, dry in the sun. So it's pure cloth, but it doesn't look very white and bright like in the advertisements for the detergent. But then on the head, they're wearing this beautiful cap. It's so bright orange and bright pink or whatever, and looking so amazing, the big beard and all the gray hair. And I've seen Radhisham, and I've seen so many times myself, it looks so great. And I have so many pictures, I've taken thousands of pictures, which are developed in my heart, but not available to the public. So the Prabhupada said, they said, what do we call this? And he said, you can call it Swami hat. Sachinji, Radhi Radhi. Namaste. Bankaro, Pichanji. This is my friend. He's a professor and a great devotee. Sachin Dubé. He's a great lover of Radharani and Rupa Goswami. And he's aspiring to take initiation from a guru that doesn't initiate. So now we'll know the power of his bhakti. Love conquers all. So bhakti is the greatest love. So he's worshipping Radharani, who has the greatest bhakti. So by the power of Radharani's bhakti, I'm sure he will conquer the heart of his guru and be the first disciple of his guru. So he's very great devotee, and sometimes he blesses me with his darshan. He's also, he goes every week since maybe 8-9 years to Astasakhi Gaon. And he works as a professor in a university in Delhi, and he lives alone, and he doesn't have any expenses. He eats a little khichdi every day, and whatever money he makes, he spends on Radharani and the Astasakhis. Buying mala and clothing, and he gets clothing designed and made, and jewelry and incense and ghee and dry fruits and cool things and warm things and camphor and sandalwood and oils and nose rings and blankets and sheets and beds and pillows and mattresses and singasans and every kind of thing you can imagine that ordinarily a mahant would do for his temple. He does for 9 temples, 8 temples and Radharani's temple on the hill. So he's a mahant for 9 temples. Yeah, it's by Radharani's mercy.
And it is like, one day though, I want your blessing. It
is like, one day. Jai ho. Mangalam prava, mangalam. Sachinji is a pure brahmachari since his birth. And he has a memory like a photo, like a Xerox machine.
you are good with this nectar. This nectar? This is so amazing. So the most beautiful nectar in all the three worlds. I read this more than 20 times. Exactly. This is really the...
Yeah.
This is so
Someone's just asking a question about seeing God, and then you come in and talk about what you're doing. This particular devotee has read 20 times the beautiful intimate love talks of Radha and Krishna when they're lying together in a kunja, and nobody else is there except one mantri named Vinod Valerie Mundry. And after Vinod Valerie Mundry heard this beautiful conversation one night, she wrote it down. Then when she came as Vishnu Chakravartipad, she again wrote it down to share with all of us, and it's called Surata Katamritam, which means the Nectarian Intimate Love Talks. Let's put it that way. And it's the most beautiful Sanskrit and the most beautiful English, I guess. I don't know who translated it. Anyway, he can translate it himself because he knows Sanskrit and Indian. So he's just showing us there's different levels of appreciation of the presence of God. This Russian lady was saying, oh, I can see God in India and remember God, but when I go to Russia, people say God is very far away, and I find it very hard to see God in Russia. So we're discussing that. So here's someone who's not only seeing God, but tasting God.
Thank you so much for giving this nectar. This is really so beautiful, so beautiful, so that cannot be expressed in words. The highest nectar that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has given after Ujjayini. Really.
Yeah, this is the goal. This is the place. Kunja Seva, Mundry Bhav.
How can I, like, Acharya can write such a beautiful, so beautiful?
Yeah, one of my teachers, he told me that after Rupa Goswami left, yeah, then he went to, this is his idea, conception. He said, Rupert left, then he left all these books, and then he was watching how Ribbon was reading and studying and practicing. Because he was very concerned, that's why he had so much karuna. He wrote all these books, Ujjwal Nilamani, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadeshamrita, and you know, so many books, Stavamala. So they said, "Oh, they're not quite getting it. You know, they don't. People are. I see now in the 1500s, people knew Sanskrit very smart, but now people are not so smart. You know, a couple hundred years have gone by. Manda samanda matyo, manda bhagyu padrata. Intelligence is going down, and day by day. It's in 11th canto. It says, anudinam, anudinam, anudinam." Bala Smriti, Anudinam Bala Smriti. It says day after day, one's physical strength, Bala Smriti, memory power, intelligence, is decreasing more and more. So then I have to do something to keep this knowledge fresh and live. So Rupa came back as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He wrote Ujjwal Nilamani Kiran, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. And then he wrote a comment, Ujjwal Nilamani Tika. You know, Jiva Goswami said this 500 years ago, his tika Ujjwal Nilamani. But I want to explain about Parakya Bhav, and about what happens to the sadhaka when he leaves his body. How does he enter into Boma Vrindavan? So I have to tell more, because I didn't. So Rupa came back as Vishwanath to add tikas to his own books, to give the comments on his own books, and give additional explanation. So this is what you're experiencing with the association with Vishwanath. One of my Shiksha gurus from long ago, Nityadamaka Srila Bhaktivinoda Narayan Swami Maharaj, he said, my only aspiration, my only desire, my only aspiration is to become a particle of dust at the feet of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He installed his murti in his, he has a temple in Sevakunj called Rupa Sanatana Mandir. And in there, in the front, by the Darshan Mandap, on one side he has Rupa Goswami murti, like Dayarama. Yeah, yeah. On the other side, Vishnu Chakravarti. Yeah, because he's so much adar and so much respect for him, you know. So he's the magnifying glass to see the exactly what Rupa Goswami is saying, you know.
Billions of life, you cannot get this nectar. This is really what I served for last 9 years, this is the prasadam of the like
quintessence. Rasa Niryas. Means extracting, you know. That's what someone said also. They said, Rupa Goswami took all, because it says in Six Goswami Astakam, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Sanstapako Lokanamita Karano Chuvane Manyo Sharanya. The Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajano Nandena Sam, whatever, Vande Rupasana. So he says that Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano. They were at Nipan, the Six Goswamis are Nipan, Nana Shastra, various Shastras, Nana Shastra Vipan, Vichara. They consider, they read so many Upanishads and so many Puranas and so many, and the Mahabharata, and everywhere they read, Bhagavatam, everywhere they read, to extract the essence of bhakti, of this Madhurya bhakti, of Braja bhakti, and then they put it in their books. So all of those Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano, all that Shastra was like sugar cane. And they put the sugar cane through the machine, you know, the big steel rollers, and they got the juice out. And then that juice became Uttanal Nilamani, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, etc. And Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Sandarvas, like this. So now Vishwanath came along and said, wait a minute, you went through once or twice with the cane and you threw it. But I'm going to fold again and again, fold in half and again and put through and extract every last drop out of what the Goswamis have given us. This is called niryas. Niryas means niryas, rasa niryas. Rasa niryas, niryas is how my teacher explained to me. Niryas means to extract every last drop, and this is the analogy he gave me, and you can watch these sugar cane guys. They put this sugar cane, these stalks, this sugar cane, like a little, it's like a piece of bamboo with juice inside. They put it through the machine, they force it through the machine and fold it so many times. By the time they're done, it's so dry. It's so dry, it's like a sponge. You can't, there's not a drop of juice inside. So this is like, Vishnath is like the rasa niryas of Rupa's writings or whatnot, you know. So let's see, that was, I think, is that okay, that question?